welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tool Shed. Robert Morris Radio's Your Campus, Your Voice flagship basketball podcast and radio show. Also on Robert Morris Century Media. I'm Logan Kearney. With me, as always, another week. It's, we believe, our sixth episode. We hope it's, that's what it is. Isn't it number six? Number six, that's what Matt's giving me.
It's number six.
All right, it's our sixth episode. I'm with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost, as always. And we're about to dive in. We got conference playoffs starting in just 1 week. Only two games left on the season. And as always, though, we're going to start off by breaking down the last two games that they have played. Now, the team, the Colonials came out of this weekend 1-1, which is, I would say, about what we expected. I'm sure if we go back, we about expected them to go 1-1 this weekend. They won the game that everybody expected. They beat Bryant, and they fell to
Central Connecticut.
Oh, wow, so it was escaping me for a second.
Yeah.
So, guys, why don't we start with the game that they won? Because that's the game that, you know, happened first, and that's the game that is going to be more fun to talk about because they won that game. So what you guys have the box scores in front of you. The final score of it was 83-60. Colonials won. Now, guys, what stands out to you when looking at this box score? Matt, I'll start with you.
When the game started, Bryant really had our number and was playing very well, and then from about the second half of the second part of the first half all the way through the second half, we played really good defense and were pretty efficient offensively. So that was really nice to see.
Luke, what about you? What stands out to you?
That they had four players in double-digit scoring numbers, which that obviously helps this team. I mean, Deshaun obviously had 25. And then
27,
I'm sorry, wrong number. Maddie had 13, and John Williams had 11. Kobe Thomas had 15. That's what this team's needed for a long time.
Yeah, it's good to see guys who you were hoping to count on offensively a little bit more, especially in Kobe Thomas and Maddie McConnell, you know, step up and have some good games. I mean, McConnell, it's his shooting. He was not as great. 3-for-8 from three-point range. 1-for-4 from the two-point range. Had a couple free throws, but as well, but Kobe Thomas, 4-for-6 on the night, made 7 free throws in the game too. So guys, let me tell you, how important is it for, you know, especially those two in particular, and maybe some other guys like Leandre Washington, you know, John Williams, how important is it for those guys not named Deshaun Burke to step up as we get closer to the conference season?
Well, it's great to see that. When Deshaun's, you know, scoring 27 points a game, you don't expect him to score that every time. So you need players like Kobe Thomas and Maddie McConnell and John Williams all to step up and, you know, get double-digit points. And that's what we saw out of them that game. John Williams with 7 assists and with 11 points, that's always great to see.
Yeah, I think if you look back at the games they've won, you'll see more team scoring. The games they lost, their highlight player is always Deshaun Burke. That's how it's been the whole year. But when they win games, they have two other guys that are double figures. So that's what they need out of this team to be successful in conference.
Now, the team went 1-1 this weekend, and we're moving on from the Bryant win. We're going to talk about the Central Connecticut loss. Central Connecticut beat Robert Morris 65-58. And, you know, this game, you would have, you know, I think we about expected the way that the Colonials have been playing lately, about expected them to maybe that they would, you know, unfortunately be upset by one of those two teams.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But the Robert Morris, just a better overall team, you know, this national ranking that we have in front of us, Colonials, in the 222nd, Central Connecticut, 315th in the national ranking. So big difference in talent, but, you know, guys, so I'll start with you. You know, the Colonials had the lead at halftime. They ended up blowing it. Matt, what's your thoughts on the Central Connecticut loss? And how do you think it helps the team as they, or at least what do you think it does to, you know, make the team realize that they need to improve on where they're not going to win in the NEC playoffs.
Well, they're not going to win in the NEC playoffs if they play against like that. We'll play like that against Central Connecticut State. We came out and looked really, really dominant. We were up 7 points at halftime, and it looked like one that we were just on a steamroll, you know, through. But we kept giving them life, and we kept giving them opportunities to come back. We went through a dry spell in the game where we just did not score any points, and that's just not something that you want to see. We forced 13 turnovers in the first half, which I thought was crazy. And we forced about 11 in the first 5 minutes of the game. And then we came out in the second half and only forced about five. So that's not something that you want to see. You want to see that first half where we looked really dominant. And, you know, it kind of worried me to see, you know, an Andy Toll coach team fall off like that, especially right before our very important NEC tournament.
Luke, what about you?
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
The turnover thing is something that's huge for an Andy Coach Tool team, because he does pride himself on being defense first, defense minded, and when you do play good defense in the first half, you saw it. They came out and they did steamroll Central Connecticut, especially in the first quarter, right?
Yeah.
But then they fell off, and they only you said five. It's actually six. Correct you on that. But, yeah, they only forced six turnovers in the second half, and that's something that you have to keep the hammer down when you're up like that. And you've been forcing turnovers and forcing the other team to make mistakes. You have to keep looking to do that. And they also had nine assists on the whole game, the Colonials did. So that's something that they need to improve on as they get closer to conference.
Yeah, playoffs. Our team looks really good whenever we give the ball to Deshaun Burke and he hits a step-back three. But you can't rely on that to be your offense in the game. You got to run the plays and get yourself into the paint, get some layups, and, you know, convert those layups if you get them. And we missed a lot of layups in that game, too. We had four players that, you know, had shots and didn't make any of them. So, and whenever you have, John Williams only taking four shots in one game, that's not something you want to see.
Kobe Thomas 4-for-13 inside the 3-point arc. So,
yeah,
that's something that's got to be better, and that needs to be better.
Yeah, he needs to definitely work on that shot and work on, you know, finishing in traffic if he wants to, you know, be as good as we think that he can be.
Well, as far as Kobe Thomas, I mean, I may disagree with you. He doesn't really need to be a 3-point shooter.
No, but he's gonna be able to finish inside.
Yeah, he's not.
He does need to get better. Inside. I mean, the game you played, you know, you look at the game where they just won that we just talked about against Bryant, where Kobe Thomas was dominant and had, you know, 15 points. You know, you think back to the early in the seasons when they played teams, you know, when they played Ohio State and Kobe Thomas put up a 20-point performance against Ohio State and played absolutely dominant on the inside. He had a couple double-doubles this year. You know, Kobe Thomas, when he's playing his best, he's phenomenal. He's arguably the best player on the court. You know, him, Deshaun Burke. If McConnell picks up McConnell, I mean they have a lot of potential on this team, they do. And the fact of the matter is only one of those guys on the entire team is a senior. Now whether or not some of those younger guys stay here moving forward, that's a different discussion. But if the main core group, if their starting lineup stays intact, which personally I believe it will, I believe the starting lineup will return next year. I don't think any of those guys are going to transfer out, even though we know that's an issue under Coach Toll. Then this team, you know, they could win, you know, one or two conference championships. I mean, let's look at their offensive lineup, for example. If we're breaking down who they've used in the last five games, they've gone with John Williams, Manny McConnell, Deshaun Burke, Kobe Thomas, and Charles Bain. Charles Bain, Kobe Thomas, and John Williams are all freshmen. Deshaun Burke's a sophomore. Manny McConnell's a junior. So all those guys are set to return if none of them transfer out. Now, McConnell's obviously not going to go anywhere. McConnell loves playing for Toll too much. That's just noticeable. I interviewed him early in the season. He said it's just like playing for his dad back in high school. So McConnell's, we don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
John Williams, he's a good player. Hasn't played well enough that he would probably want to transfer out and get somewhere better.
Well, his brother's going to be playing next year for us, so that's 100%.
He's another reason that he's going to stay.
I have no doubt that he will stay, at least for one more year.
Kobe, if this was early in the season, when he was playing as good as he was, then yeah, see him transferring out. But now with how he's struggling, you know, is anybody better going to want him?
No, I don't think so. Nobody wants somebody that shoots 4 for 13 from the field in a game that matters. So,
Charles Bane, I don't think anybody's worried about Charles Bane going anywhere. Now, Deshaun Burke is someone that it's easy to see him leaving and it's easy to see him staying. You know, he's kind of in that middle. If Burke returns, guys, my question to you is, if Burke returns, and this is the same, you know, starting five that goes in next year, let's say this whole team returns, all right, besides obviously Ronnie Gombe, who's graduating. Do you think that this group of guys can dominate the NEC for the next 1 or 2 years?
They could, but they're not going to.
Why is that?
I think there's like, you look at the way they played this year, and I mean, yeah, they're still young and they're still, you know, air quotes, getting to know each other, but they're not going to be able to dominate the way that we would hope they would. Just, they don't have it in them. I don't see it happening.
Why is that?
I just think that...
I'm just asking why. You know? You can't something and not back it up with statistics or anything like that. You got to back something up, Luke. Come on.
My thing is, you got feeling. I just don't think you have the right... You don't have the right pieces around, you know, your star players to do it. You know what I mean? You don't have... I mean, John Williams is a decent point guard. But you need somebody to be a little...
They have two star players, though. That potentially, Deshaun Burke and Kobe Thomas, potentially. McConnell's one of the better defenders in the NEC. You know, he doesn't need to be a star player. John Williams is a very good point guard. He doesn't need to be a star player. Charles Bane does not need to be a star player. You have two star players. There's not many NEC teams out there that can claim, hey, we have two really good players that have potential to be two of the top five players in the conference.
St. Francis, PA can.
I said not many. Oh, okay. That's why I said not many.
St. Francis is pretty good.
That's why I said not many. But you get my point.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I just don't like it.
What about you, Matt?
It's hard for me to imagine a world where we're going to have the same lineup next year because I have such doubts that every player that we're talking about is going to stay. But if they decide to stay, if Deshaun Burke decides to stay for his junior year, hopefully Kobe Thomas returns for his sophomore year. This team could be really good because they have a lot of good pieces. I think we're missing a center, and it's unfortunate that Malik Pettyway seems to be out for the rest of the season. He was a very efficient scorer, rebounder, defender at the beginning of the season, and that's when we were winning a lot of the games and talking about how great this team was. Then he goes down, and unfortunately, Ronnie Gombe and David Cool have not gotten it. They haven't gotten it done.
Well, Ronnie Gombe won't be there next year.
Well, I'm just saying in general. So I think that in order for this team to be good, you cannot have a Charles Bane starting at your center position, which we've done so 24% of the time. So I think that this team could be really good, but we're missing a pretty big piece, quite literally a big piece in the middle of our offense. And we'll need that to be better next year.
What do you think going forward? You have the numbers in front of you. What do you think going forward is going to be? If let's say this core stays together. I mean, obviously this whole team's not going to stay together. Obviously, some players are going to leave. I personally think Leandre Washington's going to be gone after this year.
I think so.
I don't think anybody on this start. I'll disagree with you there, Matt. I don't think anybody in the starting five is going to leave. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But you look at these numbers and just what do you think is, you know, what do you think the team needs to improve to get to that level where they can be dominating competition? Do you think it's anybody in particular? Do you think it's the team as a whole in one area? Or do you think that they should just continue to build on one of their strengths?
I think we're, like I said, we're missing a big guy. So unfortunately, we have to shoot a lot of threes. And that hasn't really worked out too well for us this year. And if you talk about one person in particular, I'm going to say Matty McConnell, who shoots the most threes on our team but is only shooting about 27%, and that's something you don't want to see out of, you know, one of the oldest players on your team, one of the most experienced. You don't want to see him shooting under 30%. But that's because we don't have a guy to feed it down low in the post. Ronnie Gombe, David Cool seem to get in a lot of foul trouble in games. I know even in the Bryant game, they both had four personal fouls, so they're switching in and out. And if your tallest player and your big guy is Charles Bane, that's going to cause some problems for you. But I like what we're doing so far this year. I think that, you know, for what we've had, we've worked with it, and we're trying to get better each and every game.
Well, we go back to think a moment. Preseason, ESPN had Robert Morris in the bottom 30 in the entire country, and because they had 11 new players. You know, nobody knew what they were going to do. And, you know, there was, you know, for the first half of the conference season, I know me and a lot of us up here were like, okay, this team can win the conference tournament easily. You know, now we're like, okay, this is a good team, but they're probably not, it's difficult to say they're better than a Wagner or St. Francis. You know, even though they're only one game behind St. Francis, it's crazy with how bad they've played lately. They're still just one game behind St. Francis's and Mount St. Mary's overall. That shows how great they were in the first half of the conference season. For me, the only thing that I can really see improving that needs to improve is the offense, and I think we've all touched on it. Defense. This is the second best defensive rated team. Under Coach Toll, last year was the only one different. So they were defensive efficiency last year was 84th in the entire country. This year it's 105th in the entire country, which for an NEC team is good. For an NEC team, that's good. So the defense, I'm not worried about moving forward. And you know, I disagree with you on McConnell in the terms of I think he is valuable to the team defensively and also as a leader, because keep in mind the team was winning with 11 new guys, and like you said, McConnell's obviously, you know, he's the captain, he's one of the players that is the most experienced. So leadership wise he's done a great job keeping the team together putting the team together with 11 new guys, him and Toll together. And defensively, he's, you know, statistically one of the top players in the conference defensively. So, and I think that's where his value is. Now obviously his offensive value is very low, I'm not going to argue with you on that. But if the pieces around him pick up, you know, if Kobe Thomas starts shooting better, if Deshaun Burke plays consistent like he has been this year, if we see some more scoring out of John Williams or some more offensive development out of John Williams, gets a couple bench guys in there, this team can be very good. This team can definitely, you know, dominate, you know, the NEC. Obviously, they're going to have to worry about St. Francis, you know, because they got Jamal King coming back. They'll have Keith Braxton coming back. Those are two of the top five players in the conference. And then Wagner's always good. You know, Wagner just has JoJo Cooper. He'll be graduating, though, so that team's going to be worse. But, you know, the team, for me, I think Robert Morris for the next 2 years, two, 3 years, assuming, you know, if Burke stays, assuming Kobe stays for another year or two, I think definitely next year, I can't see this team finishing, you know, below second. I can't see Robert Morris finishing below second. I can see St. Francis above him. That's it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, you touched upon the experience, and we're, what, second from last, third from last?
Third youngest team in all of college basketball.
Third youngest team, Pitt's fifth, but third youngest team in all of, behind Kentucky and Duke, who, you know, recruit those
one and done,
the top, five yeah, the one and done guys.
So, I mean, that's definitely something to look at, too. We're talking about, you know, struggling, and you're going to struggle offensively as a freshman. The freshman, there is a reason that you're a freshman and not a senior. You know, you're young, and you haven't played in college games yet, so... hopefully you see a lot of these players returning, and then, you know, the more and more experience they get playing, the better they're going to get. It's hard to get worse with the more experience that you have. That's anybody.
Yeah, Kobe needs to become the stretch forward, I think, that Tool's looking for.
Yeah.
Because he's in a position where he's only 6'6 playing power forward. And he's not a very thick guy, you know what I mean? You've seen Walker on campus. He's not a very big dude.
Big, skinny guy.
He's a big, tall, lanky guy. He needs to become that stretch forward that he has a presence on the outside, make you come out and get him. He needs to be able to.
So you think he needs to develop a three-point shot?
Oh, he has to. I think that's really what it comes down to, is that he has to develop a three-point shot. It doesn't be great, but it's got to be enough to draw a defender out and really open the offense up that way.
Yeah, the problem with him is that because he's so small, I think he only weighs 190 pounds. As a, you know,
190 pounds that they have here.
Yeah, as a 6'6", you know, power forward, we're hoping that's what he's playing this year. And, you know, he's playing against a lot of guys that are pretty big. You know, David Kuhl is another power forward, and they don't look anything like each other in terms of just physically. So, you know, he's got to get better at, you know, shooting the three, but also driving towards the hoop and, you know, getting physical and converting, you know, that layup before the and one, and then, you know, working on that foul shot to make sure that you're converting that stuff.
But even if they don't just get Kobe, they get, I mean, a couple recruits in that can play everywhere. I mean, look at Burke. Burke in the last five games has played four different positions. He's played everywhere from everything except for center, which obviously he's not big enough to play center.
Well, clearly, yes.
So I mean, if you get some guys in, you can mix in some guys like Burke. You know, you get one or two guys like that. You don't expect him to get, you know, a guy like Burke who has potential to average almost 20 points a game. But if you can get a couple decent contributors off the bench to make that you can mix around, that you can do something like that. I think back to I like to compare it to Jay Crowder. If you can get a if you watch the NBA.
Yeah.
A Jay Crowder-like player that can play, you know, pretty much anywhere, he can move around, that'll be good too. I mean, you're always gonna have at least one open spot in your team with Ronnie Gombe leaving. You're gonna have a couple more with, you know, transfers and stuff like that. And it's still probably gonna be a young team next year too, with only one senior on the entire team.
Yeah.
And Matty McConnell, unless they get a senior transfer coming in or a graduate transfer coming in, which is very unlikely. The team, in my opinion, though, I mean, the defense is there. Defensively, this team can win the NEC. The offense doesn't even have to be one of the top offenses in the conference. It just has to be average.
So that's how Virginia wins.
If it's an average offense, if they get decent contributions from some of their better players, then this team can dominate in the conference.
No, for sure.
All right. We're going to look at – we got about 8 minutes left, so we're going to start looking at our next games in the weekend. Now, Matt, you found, before we get into that, Matt, though, you found an interesting quote by
Amari Sankofa.
Amari Sankofa, who – is the reporter who covers Robert Morris and a couple other stuff, but mainly Robert Morris for the Post-Gazette. And you wanted to share it with us. So Matt, go ahead and share us with it.
Well, so this year, because we're not playing on campus, obviously it's posed a couple challenges. But Andy Toole was quoted with, he said, there's certainly a lot of challenges in terms of just playing at PPG Paints and the Palumbo Center. We maybe didn't completely anticipate the lack of energy in the buildings that we're playing in, which is hard. And sometimes we play off the energy or the crowds or students. Then he goes on to say, you know, you need the crowd to propel you, and they're not really getting that this year. And, you know, but by watching this game, and that's a quote that he had from the last game when they lost to Central Connecticut State, clearly a lot of students aren't going to this game. And it's you can't really blame the students.
It's difficult. It's hard. It's hard to line up travel to get to these games.
Yeah, especially against Central Connecticut, the weather was pretty bad that day too.
Yeah.
But the bus going down, it's a 30-minute bus ride down there, 30 minutes back. I mean, that's an hour of your night, especially on a Saturday night, you know, with a lot of students. So that, you know, it's really tough this year for students to get kind of into Robert Morris men's basketball. You know, you do stuff all day. You want to go to the game at 7 o'clock at Sewell, which you can walk there. It takes 3 minutes to walk there, basically from any place on campus. But this year, you know, you're dedicating a 30-minute drive to get down to Pittsburgh, and sometimes you got to pay for parking if you don't ride the shuttle. It's a really big problem this year with RMU men's basketball.
Do you think he's right to criticize, you know, do you think that's be like, yeah, you know, it'd be better if he had a crowd, but you should still win more at home?
You definitely should win at home. Like, you shouldn't be losing to Central Connecticut State. You shouldn't be blaming, you know, a lack of energy in the arena. But in basketball is one of those sports, I say basketball and football, that when you play at home, you have a significant advantage. Not only are you, you know, get to wear your home uniforms and you're playing in the arenas that you're used to, but you have that energy behind you. The crowd's behind you. No one's shouting.
You think back to, you know, we grew up in Pittsburgh. You think back to how Pitt used to be under the Jamie Dixon era at the Pete.
Yeah, for sure.
They only had 11 losses under Jamie Dixon before they moved to the ACC, and they've beaten top teams after top team after top team in the Big East. You know, you look at some of the, I mean, those are obviously bigger
look
schools.
Look at Pitt football. They do the same thing.
Do you think
they're a walking trap game.
Yeah.
Do you think that the new arena is going to provide the Colonials the atmosphere that they need to make Robert Morris an unfriendly environment for opposing teams to come in and play?
The problem is, I don't think the NEC generates enough attendance and fans to make, you know, playing at RMU a tremendous atmosphere, like the Kentucky game that we hosted, which basically every student that goes here went to, which was
but Kentucky awesome. Was on the.
But you don't think a new arena could fix that?
I don't.
Even
think
with how nice it's supposed to be, rumored to be.
I think for one season, if it opens up in January of next year, like it's supposed to, January 2019, I think that you're going to get a lot of students there because it's new. For the first couple games. Like, you might sell out the first game you ever play there, but
after that, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, you know.
It's RMU men's basketball, and as long as they're dropping games like this, I don't think that students really care to go to them because a lot of students that go here are still big fans of, you know, the Steelers, so they don't care about RMU football. And then they're big fans of either Pitt basketball or they have an NBA team that they root for. So RMU kind of falls to the bottom of their tier of teams that they care about.
Good. If Robert Morris is good next year, and I think we all agree that they're at least going to be decent next year. I don't think any of us sees this team finishing in the bottom five of the conference.
Oh, no, they should definitely be better. But
So this team, assuming Robert Morris is competitive next year, you don't think students are going to want to turn out?
I still think students will turn out. Students will go to the game, and I think that you're going to get more students at the game, obviously. Than
you get more students
year.
At the game, you're going to get better atmosphere. I mean, those two things just go hand in hand.
But I don't think that us playing in a new arena on campus is going to make it any more
that much better for the team.
You don't think the new arena is going to make it better than how it is at PPG and
it's gonna make
down
it,
at Duke Keene?
It's going to make it better.
But they had seven students at the Central Connecticut State game?
You don't think
the new arena is going to bring in more than seven students per game?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's not
going to. That's exactly what you
I'm
said.
I'm saying it's not
going
to provide.
You said it's not going to make it better.
I said it's not going to provide that great of an atmosphere. It's going to make it better than what it is this year. But I don't think that by building this new arena, it's going to enhance the atmosphere or the amount of students that are at the games any more than it did at the Soul Center. And that's one of the big problems with this arena.
All right, we only got about 3 minutes left, so we're just going to give our we're going to talk about the upcoming games. Now, the Colonials, they have Mount St. Mary's coming up, and then they got St. Francis. Both extremely important games, and I'm just going to for those of you at home that don't know the NEC standings off the top of your head, to be honest, I don't know the NEC standings off the top of my head, too, and I have a show about it. But Robert Morris sits in fifth place in the conference at 9-7. Now, there are three teams ahead of them. St. Francis, New York, who they're not playing, but they do. I believe they have the tiebreaker over them. I could be wrong. Maybe they would. If they went out, they would have the tiebreaker over them. Mount St. Mary's and St. Francis, PA. Now, if the Colonials win out and St. Francis, New York gets one loss, the Colonials jump from the fifth seed to the two seed and get a home game in the NEC playoffs. A major, major jump. That's how important these next two games are. If the Colonials win one of them, and the team that they played, say they played Mount St. Mary's, and Mount St. Mary's loses both their games, then they jump to at least a 3 or 4 seed, and they'll get a home game in the NEC playoffs. So they're only one game out of the top four. So guys, let me ask you this: you have all the numbers in front of you. We only have a minute left of the show, so we're just going to go around. We'll do our quick predictions. These are extremely important games coming up. We'll start with Mount St. Mary's. Matt, your score prediction: what do the Colonials need to do, and do you think that they'll win?
Last time we played Mount St. Mary's, it was not pretty. It was by far the worst basketball game that I've ever attended for a team that I care about. So, it's not promising. I don't think that we win this game. I think that we lose this game 70-63.
Luke?
I'd say Mount St. Mary's over Robert Morris, 74-68, and then, yeah.
All right, St. Francis, Matt.
I think it's the same way. St. Francis is going to put up a lot of points, regardless of how great our defense is playing. St. Francis is going to score a lot. So I'm thinking they beat us 85-72.
Luke?
80-71.
Who?
St. Francis.
All right, so it looks like both of my colleagues saying that Ron Morris is going to lose out and settle for no more than a fifth seed. But, you know, if the Colonials do happen to win out, and, you know, a lot of productions say they won't, but if they do win out, they can win out if their players play to their potential, then guess what? there might be the 2 seed in the NEC. When all is said is done, they could will be at least the 3rd seed in the NEC.
Wow.
So on behalf...
It's been a long season.
On behalf of my colleagues, Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost, we have to thank you for another edition of the Toll Shed. Be sure to tune in next time. As looks like we're going to do a 1 hour playoff, NEC playoff special next
one
week.
1 hour?
Yeah, I didn't tell you guys that yet, but we're going to do a 1 hour NEC playoffs next week. Tune in next time, same time, same channel. This is Logan Carney, and this has been the Toll Shed. Ball at its very best. Basketball has always been my thing. I like Magic Bird and Bernard King. And number 33, my man Kareem, is the center of my stalling team.